Hey guys, thanks for joining us on Real Faith Radio, presented by Praise Chapel Las Vegas. Subscribe to us on Apple and Google Podcasts, SoundCloud, and Spotify to get notified when new episodes are available to download or stream. You can also follow us on social media at PC Las Vegas and visit our website, praisechapellasvegas.com, to find out more about us and give online. Thanks again for joining and enjoy today's message.
Follow my example as I, somebody say I, somebody say I, as I follow the example of Christ. Amen. So let's bow our heads as we get ready to receive the word. Amen. Father, we just thank you so much, Father God, for we know it's not about us or I. It's all about you, my Lord. And Father, we pray that we can follow you to be more like you, Father. And so I pray right now as you move, Holy Spirit, have your way. As you're already established in this place. And we pray right now, Father God, for we know it's not by might nor by power, but only by thy Spirit, Father. And so I pray for our ears to be open, that those that have an ear would hear what the Lord would say to them, Father, and that the Spirit would speak to us, Father, and we would be changed, renewed, and transformed. And Father, we thank you so much. We pray for signs, wonders, miracles. We pray, Father, for salvation. We pray, Father, that you would just move in a powerful way as you're already doing this morning. And so, Father, we ask right now, we ask this in the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone says, amen. Hallelujah. Come on. See, many times throughout our life, amen, we look at other people, we look at things, we look at icons, amen, to be an example to follow. But Paul says, follow my example as I follow Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so then through these next few weeks, amen, we're going to take a journey and we're going to discover areas that will help us. Somebody say, help me.
Help me.
Say, help I.
Help I.
Be a better example. How many want to be a better example?
Yeah.
Come on. Come on. How many know that the world needs better examples? Come on. Households need better examples. Our children need a better example. Amen. Everything should be a better example for the world. And if we can all improve on the us part, the me part, then we can be better examples to those around us. Can somebody say amen?
Yes.
Come on. The best example, Christ is that example. Amen. And so he says, as Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. And I know that no one here is perfect. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Come on. Look to the neighbor. See, he's talking about you too. No one here is perfect. There is not one. Amen. Hallelujah. No one is perfect in this place. Amen. But I still believe, listen, I still believe that we can be an example though. Amen. Come on. This I series is going to be about you, about I, about us. Amen. Me, myself, and I. So tell yourself, get ready.
Get ready.
Amen. Today, let's start by I build. Somebody say, I build.
I build.
I build. You see, before we can go any further, we must establish a desire to build. Come on. How many want to build?
Amen.
Come on. Come on. How many want to build something in your life? Come on, how many want to build a better home? Come on, how many want to build healthy relationships? Come on, how many want to build a stronger marriage? Come on, somebody. Come on, married people say amen.
Amen.
Come on, tell your neighbors not too late. We can get better. Somebody say, I can get better. We have to build at it. We have to work at it. Come on, where you're at is not it. I said, where you're at is not it. And don't be satisfied where you're at. Sometimes it can be all right, but how many know that we can be better? Come on, we need to set better examples to this world, especially within our homes, amen. We need to build healthy homes that our children can see what a healthy family is, what a good husband is, amen, what a good wife is, amen. We have to set those examples, even in our workplaces. How many know that we need to set the example? Come on, we got to set the example. Amen. Well, it starts with I. Somebody say I. Come on, it starts with you. I. Even the babies are participating today. Come on. Listen, life itself will build. But you say I, you can determine how it's built. Amen. Life is going to build itself, church. As we go through life, it's just going to build itself. But you can make the difference. You can determine how it's going to be built. And there are two ways to build your life. Amen. And it's through actions and words. Proverbs chapter 13, 22 says, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. Come on. The definition of good, or the words that describe good, amen. If you really looked at it, there's a lot of words. It's not just being good, amen. It means this: of favorable character, deserving of respect, honorable, upper class, loyal, close, of highest worth or reliability, praiseworthy character. I mean, the list can go on and on about good. We think good is just good. But no, it's a list of all these things. This is upper class. This is loyalty. When someone says, I'm good, this is what you're putting on yourself. I am of high worth, amen. I am of praiseworthy character. It's about being a good man. Not just a man, not just a woman, not just a person, but someone, listen, that is good, but carries these characteristics. It's not just say, I'm not bad, so I'm good. No, I'm good because I'm putting myself of higher worth. I'm putting myself as a praiseworthy character. I'm upper class because I belong to Jesus. Come on, I'm loyal, I'm close, amen. That is what good is. And so when you say I'm a good person, that is what you are to other people. Can somebody say amen? Amen. It's someone that you can count on. I'm speaking about good. An inheritance here in Proverbs 13:22 is not just about money, but it's about something that will last more than money. The definition of an inheritance is this: something that is inherited, a legacy. It's the impact that you, say I, that you make in life, amen. A legacy that you may leave, not just for your children, listen, but your children's children. It's for the third generation and beyond, church. My goal is that my life will impact my son's life. That his life will impact his son's life. My goal is that my life will impact my daughter's life, and that impacts her own daughter's life. That I would impact all my grandchildren, amen, all children from their children and their children. What I'm preaching today is for everyone. Tell somebody he's talking to you. Somebody say he's talking to me. Young, old in this place, the question is, what legacy are you building today? Listen, what you build today is what will be left as your legacy. See, we're all given a certain amount of time in life, right? Nobody knows the time. Nobody knows when you'll die. Nobody knows the time frame, amen. One day, all of us will pass away. Come on. You're not exempt from death, amen. We're all going to pass one day. Come on. And on our tombstones, we'll read two dates. It'll say one date when you were born. Come on, and you'll have that date. And the date that you died, and you'll have that date. And in between those dates is what? A little line. A little line, church. Come on, that little line is your life. Is it long? Come on. You know, when they put the tombstone, how old was he? They don't put the line by your age. Every line, no matter how long you lived, is just a little line, a little dash is all between those dates that's going to be in our tombstone. What you desire to build on that line is all up to you. I don't know about you, but I want to leave a good legacy. As a husband, as a father, as a papos, as grandfather, son, brother, uncle, friend, pastor. And I'm realizing now that one of the reasons why I quit my job was to work on improving my legacy. Let me tell you something. That little line, that little dash moves pretty fast. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. When I came out here, and it seems like yesterday, when I came out here, I was at the age of 35. In December, I will be 60. Hallelujah. Thank you. Somebody said, you don't look 60. Thank you for whoever said that. I heard you. It went by fast. I remember picking her up in a van. In my Suburban, a van, car, we just piled them all in, huh? When she was a little girl. It's gone by fast. So quick. Remember the hill? I used to take them home and they'd like, let's go down the hill. No, no, come on. And then I would trick them and they would go, he's going. Whew. They floated in the air, really. I would take off and go, yeah, he's going to do it. Ah! Can we do it again? No. Life, listen, church, life goes by fast. I'm not sure if they got that picture. Put it up there, please. Life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you can miss it. Life goes by fast, church. My wife and I came out here. We were young, excited. And man, we were just, and it's just gone by fast. Everyone that was small that we used to pick up, and our church was mainly kids and teenagers, amen. I mean, I would pick up a whole church, and my wife would go one direction, and I would go another direction, and we meet at the church, amen. And it was just a bunch of teenagers. We must have, 30 of them or a bunch of them, amen. But now they're old, and they're older. Okay, I'm old. I'm old. You guys are older. Yes. Really? Wow. It's gone by pretty fast, church. What will your line interpret in your life? What will they say about you? What will they remember you by? What stories will that little line say about you? What legacy will you leave behind? Please tell me that it'd be more that he alright. I hope it's more than he alright. I hope it's more that she dressed nice. I hope it's more than he was cool. See, the last thing that you, somebody say I, the last thing that you want to do is live your life, and say, what did I do with it? What kind of legacy am I leaving? See, God gave me a life. God gave my life back to me. God gave you a life. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Jesus died on the cross. Amen. What are you going to do with your life? We need to leave an eye print on this generation. Come on, I want my line, my dash to say that he loved his wife with all his heart. That he was a man who loved the Lord, a man after God's own heart. Come on, he gave and gave until he had nothing else to give. He was an inspiration to my life. He helped me stand and trust God. Come on, he helped me to stand my ground. He helped me. His life gave my life hope. He helped me to get rooted. Somebody say rooted. I mean, what would your line say about you? What would they say about your line that day, church? Because what you're building today is what will be remembered tomorrow. Somebody shout, say, I build.
I build.
The truth is, church, everyone in this room will leave some kind of legacy. The real question is, what type of legacy are you leaving? Come on, think about that a little bit. What are you building right now? What are you leaving right now? If you're thinking nothing, you're blank, then you're selfish. Because we've got to leave something. Like I said, you're going to leave something, and you can leave that as well, or you can leave something that they'll talk good about you. You might be here and say, you know, my life really doesn't matter, Pastor. It's not like my life can make a difference. And I'm here to let you know, yes, it does, and yes, it can. It does matter, and you can make a difference. Come on, somebody say, I can make a difference. You can make a difference to your family. You can make a difference to your children. You can make a difference in your workplace. You can make a difference, church. They say that in one lifetime, every person will have a circle of influence of people that they meet. Can you guess the average of people that we meet in a lifetime? How much? Throw a number at me. 100,000. Lifetime. Man, you meet a lot of people over there. The average is around 30,000 people. That's the average, meaning that you'll meet or come into contact within an average of 30,000 people in your lifetime. And some will meet more than others, amen. I was a salesperson for 40 years. I've met a lot of people throughout the years. I've sold a lot of appliances and TVs to people all over Southern California and right here in Las Vegas. I've met a lot of people, church, and I work with all kinds of different people in that field. So the million-dollar question is, what will you be known by? What will you be remembered by? Listen, there's no question that you are influencing people, because people are looking at you. Moms and dads, your kids are looking at you really hard. And so when they start acting up, guess where they got it from? Mom and dad. School. Come on, blame the school. That happens later. I'm not saying that. The school's effect. But growing up, guess what? It's all on you. Come on, why is Junior climbing the pole? They saw you climbing it. I don't know. Listen, the question is, what type of influence are you leaving? Someone said that our actions will tell us who we really are. Now, I'm not talking about reputation. I'm talking about character, church. The person who you truly are. In our society, we put a great value on reputation. But there's a big difference between character and reputation. Even though the words are similar, church, come on, we see that sometimes people even sacrifice their character just for reputation. Come on, you need to understand, church, reputation is who you're supposed to be or want to be. Character is who you really are. Reputation is made in a moment. Character is built in a lifetime. Reputation is learned about you within an hour. Your character comes out when you're squeezed. Reputation is what people say about you. Character are what the angels say about you before the throne of God. Your reputation, amen, is what people think about you. Your character is what God knows about you. Look, I know that we can all have more friends if we did certain things. But I will not sacrifice my character to be cool. Come on, to be accepted, to be part of, amen. Because I'm building a legacy to leave. Someone say, I build. See, what kind of legacy will you leave behind? What will be the one that will be respected, amen, because you stood what was right? Even if it meant not always being cool or being accepted or being part of? See, I want to leave a good legacy that if someone would walk into R.C. Willie's where I just left my job, and someone, and you told somebody, my pastor used to work here. His name is Art Corral. That they would start to speak highly of me. Come on, they would say, that dude was the real deal. Come on, that dude had class. He was a great encouragement. Not shake their heads and say, oh man, that dude was a jerk. I pray that if my son walked into R.C. Willie's and they didn't know he was my son and they start talking about me, that he would say, they're talking about my dad. And he would walk with his head up and he would be proud and say, hey, that's my dad. A quote from James Dobson says this: a good father and mother will leave their imprint on their children's heart for the rest of their lives. Listen, parents, you might say and be here today, so I provide a house for my family to live in, and that's okay. Or I'm at the house, amen, and that's okay, but are you in their lives? Look, I know it's hard, amen, and it's hard because we don't see the immediate effects of your labor, amen. You don't see the immediate effects of your I build, amen. Come on, it doesn't mean that you stop building. You have to choose to say, I build. Somebody say, I build. I build. Even if it rains, I build. Even if it gets hard, I build. Even if I get angry, I build. Even if I'm having a bad day, even if the rest of the house is not on the same program, come on, even if I don't see immediate results, come on, even though she's not changing, even though he's not changing, even though our kids are going crazy, you what? You what? You got to build, church. You cannot stop, amen. You're not going to see immediate effects on your children. You're not going to see immediate effects going on in your home, amen. But that doesn't mean you stop building. You got to be determined and have a desire. I want to build something, and my children will get it. Come on, my grandchildren will get it, and my children's children will get it, because I continue to build no matter what. That was a lot of words for a little clap, amen, hallelujah. That's my cheerleader right there. You forgot your pom-poms, girl. There they are. It's a small one, amen. Hey, honey, oh. Come on, it's I build, I build, I build. Say that with me. I build, I build, I build. Come on, when you're going through a trouble and going through a season, you got to continue to build. Even if you get a bad report from the doctor, you still got to build. Even if you just got laid off, you still got to build, church. We got to build, church, because the enemy will come and huff and puff all over, church. And sometimes he's going to hit you, amen. But you got to continue to build. Joshua 24:15 says, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua saying, I build. I'm going to build my house. Nothing's going to distract me, amen, from serving my God. He spared my life and he gave me life, amen. And I'm going to do something with my little line. Joshua, come on, was taking a definite stand for the Lord. Joshua again displayed his spiritual leadership, regardless of what other people said. Because Joshua made a commitment to God, he was determined to build his legacy, and set an example of living by that decision. Kids, in our house, we serve the Lord. This is what we do. This is who we are. Come on, it doesn't matter what you think or where you're going through. This house, as far as me in my house, I build. I'm going to build on the foundations of Christ. I'm going to build him as our strong foundation. We are going to build ourselves on the solid rock. Come on. So when the winds come and the storm comes and they're going to come, church, come on, your house will remain standing. Why? Because you build. Come on, you're not going to build a little something that's not going to last. You're building something to last. Come on, we're not looking for the deal. Just like Pastor Victor says, it takes work. David says, you know what? I will not build unless I give some money into that, unless I pay for it. Amen. See, they were giving it to him because he was the king. No. I appreciate that, but I want to give an offering. I want to build his house. The way we live shows others, listen, our strength of our commitment to serving God. How they see you shows your commitment on how you serve God. Church, what are your actions saying about your legacy? Is it that you're building? Or do they have anything to say? Let's look at words for a bit. What are you speaking over lives? Come on. Are you just speaking your mind? Are you just speaking out of frustration? What are you speaking over the lives, amen, in the lives that you want to see succeed? What are you speaking over your sons? What are you speaking over your daughters? What are you speaking over those in ministry and those in your household, over family, over friends? What are you speaking over your spouse? That jerk, that, now I want to say a girl nothing, amen. What are you saying? Come on, let's be serious. Because sometimes we say words. Hello. We say things out of frustration. We say things. What are you speaking over the lives around you? James chapter 3, verse 3 to 6 says this. When you put bits into the mouths of horses, you can make them obey us, and we can turn the whole animal. Or take a ship for an example. Although they're so large and so driven by strong winds, they are steered by a small rudder wherever the pilot wants it to go. Likewise, our tongue, somebody say my tongue. Our tongue is a small part of our body, but it makes a great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person. It sets the whole course of his life on fire, and itself can set on fire. It can set itself on fire by hell. A bit, a rudder, a tongue does all that, church. See, many people today think, well, if the tongue has so much influence, it's better to say nothing at all. Be silent. That doesn't work either, though. Come on, somebody. We just got to watch what we say. See, our words can destroy us and others. An untamed tongue can bring damage. Come on. James here in this passage of Scripture compares the damage of a tongue to a great fire. An uncontrolled tongue can do some terrible things. And Satan uses the tongue to divide people and put them against one another. Idle and hateful words are damaging because they spread destruction quickly. And no one can stop the results once they are spoken. Come on. Once they go forth from your mouth, amen, it's too late. You say something to someone, you say something to your spouse, you say and it's already out and you like want to grab it back, but it goes boom. Come on. You ever said something like, oh, man, I didn't really mean it. And it's like, boom, it's already in their ear. Oh, yeah, you meant that. Come on. We like to get it back. We do it out of frustration. We say something out of the moment. And once words are said, church, it's too late. We cannot be careless to say what we say at times, amen, without thinking, amen, and thinking that we can apologize later. I didn't really mean it. And even if he do forgive you, the scar still remains. It's still there, church. Come on, they can say, oh, okay, I forgive you, but oh, it came from somewhere. Because from the heart, the mouth. I know there's sometimes it's frustration, sometimes there's just things and moments, but you got to watch those words, church. A few words spoken in anger can destroy a relationship. A relationship that took years to build. Come on, I've seen friendships break over one disagreement when they had years of great times. But over one hateful word, one thing that was said out of line, amen, it's damaging. And the friendship is no longer the same. James 1:19 says this, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to becoming angry. See, before you speak, remember that the words are like fire. You can either control or reverse the damage that it does. Now, I believe that's why James said here, amen, that we should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. There's a reason why we have two ears and one mouth. Come on. We don't think, church. We react. We react. Right? Come on, it's a moment and things like that, and we react. You know, we push and we want to push back. I know you want to push me, Derek. I know you want to push me. Not me. Come on, we push a little harder. We top the word that was spoken to us. We want to top it. So you say something even meaner. Right? Come on, don't look at me all honest, all not me. Come on, and then what happens? They want to say something that tops yours. And it becomes a word that we go back and forth, amen, and we're wondering what we're going through. And they ask, yeah, there's healing. Yeah, there's forgiveness. But, hey, there's a scar. There's a scar. And it damages things. And sometimes those scars take a long time to heal. God can do all things, church, but he has to work on the eye. He has to work inside of our lives. He has to work inside of me that I don't speak like that anymore. That I be slow to speak. I listen to the other person. I got to see where they're coming from. So sometimes we take things personal. And that person can just be going through a season. And now you accept it and you say, that person's talking to me. Now you take it personally. Now you talk to that person. And sometimes it has nothing to do with you. But now we start destroying each other. It sneaks its way into homes. Can I let you know that's the enemy? Sometimes it's self. Come on. Still the sin within us, church. Come on. We all fall short. Come on. Right? There's no one perfect here, like I said. We all fall short of God's glory. And so that's why it's so important to be prayed up. Hallelujah. You got to be prayed up. You got to be read up. Amen. Because you're going to need that during the course of the day. And you really need a good friendship with the Holy Spirit. Come on. That, if he's not your best buddy, you got to make him your best buddy. Because he's so quick to speak into you before you speak it out. Come on, somebody. Come on. That Holy Spirit, God, he has to be your sidekick. He has to be right there with you. He's there to help you. He's there to comfort you. He's there to direct you. He's there to teach you. He's your counselor. He's your everything. Tap into the Holy Spirit. Come on, we have the Father, we have the Son, but we have the Holy Spirit, church. Come on. The father's gone. The son says, I'm going, but I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send you a comforter. I'm going to send you a friend. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. That's our helper here on earth. Come on, somebody. And the Holy Spirit's everywhere. That's the cool part of it. He's always wherever you're at. If you're at your home, in your restroom, or in your bedroom, amen, he can be over here, amen, while I'm walking in the park. The Holy Spirit's everywhere. Come on. You have to tap out to the flesh and tap into the Holy Spirit. In other words, engage your mind before you engage with your mouth. The tongue is a wet place and it can easily slip. You ever have something in your mouth? I wish I could tell that person this. Right? Is it me only? Come on. All of us. Say me. Say I. All of us go through that. It's right there. There's a saying, it's right on the tip of my... I want to say it. And there's the Holy Spirit saying, I hear that snap. I usually get a hit in the back. I like, the Holy Spirit gets me my attention like that. You're going to say something right now you're going to regret. And there's times I listen, and there's times I don't. Right? Sometimes we feel like a nut. Sometimes we don't. Is it true? Man, there's time I know he's here and he's telling me and I still just do it because, man, I'm just mad. And I want to have a right to be mad. So I'm gonna say something here. I'm gonna say something. Now after I say it, I'm like, why did I say it? And the Holy Spirit says, I told you. He talks to me to my language, okay? I don't know how he talks to you. That's how he talks to me. I told you. Proverbs 13:3 says this, those who control their tongue will have a long life. Opening your mouth can ruin everything. Proverbs 15:4 says this, gentle words are a tree of life. Deceitful tongues crushes the spirit. Proverbs 21:23 says, watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut and you will stay out of trouble. Come on, sometimes we just got to shut our mouths, church, and not say nothing. Sometimes you got to walk away. I don't care how you're feeling. I don't care what they said. Sometimes you just got to walk away. Come on. Choose your battles wisely. Don't put yourself in that place. Sometimes the enemy's setting you up to display you. And he usually does it in a public place. Usually does it in a cafe at a church. Usually does it outside the parking lot of a church. Usually does it at your job once you finish witnessing to somebody on your job. You got to watch out, church, what you do. Our words can refresh and encourage somebody. Someone that's discouraged and ready to give up and quit, your words can give them life. Come on, it can build a relationship. It can restore a dead relationship to a relationship that's alive. The definition of encouragement, the Greek definition is this, is one who puts courage in the heart of another. Psalms 19:14 says this, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight. Come on, O Lord, my rock, my redeemer. Church, we've got to work on ourselves. This eye series is to build us. God's helping us. Come on. We're all looking for an encounter. Are you looking for an encounter? You know, our theme is encounter, and God wants to meet us, but there are things within us that we're going to have to strip away. And when we do, then our focus, when the encounter comes, and when that happens to us as individuals, as a church, then finally he's going to be able to speak to us. Our minds will be different. We want increase within ourselves. We hit that reset button and you say, man, I'm going to get a start over here. I need to get things right. But right here, I need to leave a good legacy. I want to build something that's going to outlast me. to reach my children and their children and their children's children and beyond. What we leave here will impact them, church. They may gear off. They may wander off a bit. Come on. Didn't all of us do that? I grew up in church. I wandered. Went back to church and wandered off again. Come on. God came after me. Come on. The words and the prayers of people lifting up my name. That my name was one of these little cards that my wife read, amen, for prayer requests. Year after year, God came after me, but he gave me life. He gave me a start over. He gave me a reset. And he says, you know what, that little dash, even though it's small, it's not finished yet. You can change something here. You can make a difference in that little line right now. And that little line's going to make a difference to somebody else. It's going to make a difference to your children and your children's children is what you do with that line, church. Sometimes we got to give up our rights to be right and just keep peace in the house. We got to choose our battles wisely because the enemy's trying to set us up. And right now, he knows his time is short, church. Jesus is coming back. Don't forget that. I said he's coming back. And so we got to work on our line. Come on, we can't just say we're in because you came to Praise Chapel, Las Vegas. You can't just say you're in because you're sitting at someone's church, amen. You cannot say that line has to speak. Come on, the Bible says many on that day will say, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in that line? Didn't we cast out demons in the line? You're going to say, away from me, for I never knew you. Come on, the line is about relationships. It's always been about relationships, church. It's not about you, yourself, and you, it's always been about others. I gave up my life for my line. And now I'm realizing I need to work on my line with my wife, with my children, with my grandchildren, for you guys. I want to leave a greater legacy. I'm not saying that to just say it. I mean that. Yeah, Lord provided, Lord challenged me. I stepped out. He called me to do this, and I'm doing this. But at the same time, I'm realizing, man, you want me to work on my home. You want me to work on my relationship with my wife. That these last years can be the best years. Amen. And they are going to be the best years. Amen. Come on. You can do something with that little line, that little dash in your life right now by building a legacy for your children and for their children's children. It all starts now, church. Come on, we got to get things right. We got to watch the things that we say sometimes. Sometimes things that we say to each other as husbands and wives. Come on, because your children are listening. And they'll carry it. And they'll take it on to their lives. Come on. I remember growing up, and I'll close shortly right now. I remember growing up in my home, amen, in my father and my brothers are, you know, gang members and drugs and alcoholics. Amen. My dad was an alcoholic, and he would come. And he was a mean, drunk alcoholic. And I said to myself when I was a little boy and I was watching that, I said, I don't want to be like that when I grow up. But yet when I grew up, I became that. And I was like, man, I'm doing the very same thing. Thank God my dad got saved. He's in glory land. But he really didn't look at my life to get changed. I know that he's looking at my life and I'm changing it. And his son turned out all right. Your line speaks, church. It builds legacies. What are you building? What legacy are you building? What kind of influence are you leaving, church? Because if we're going to do anything with I, it starts with a desire to build. I build. I'm going to build something. I'm going to build something for my family. I'm going to build something for my children and for my children's children. I'm going to leave an imprint on their lives. I'm going to leave an imprint on this generation. that when I'm gone, years after, they'll still be talking about the guy with the spiky hair. Hopefully it's just not the hair. But they'll talk about me saying, you know what? He was the real deal. I remember leaving my job at the last day, and one of the vendors took me out. They're a high-end vendor, high-end kitchens, and I just saw the high-end kitchens, and he left with this, and it just touched me. I'm not saying anything to boast about myself. I'm just saying because of what God gave me. Everything that God's people speak of me is because of God. It has nothing to do with me. If you get me, you don't get this. You get an arrogant guy that's full of himself. But he told me, you know what describes Art? He used to call me Art Fonzarelli. I don't know why. That's what he called me. That was his nickname for me. Where's the Fonz? Hey, there he is. But he left and he goes, you know what describes Art? And they're all there just talking there, and he did it in front of me. He goes, class. Class. That's class. And I was like, cool. It's cool. What would they say about you, church? Come on. The I series is going to change you, but it begins with I build, building our legacy with actions and with words. Amen. Let's all stand up. I'll read the scripture of our text. 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Amen. Amen. I build. Amen. With every head bow, eye closed, just for a moment. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We glorify you, Jesus. Thank you so much for those that are here. We thank, Father, the guests that you brought into this house, Lord, and every person that's here, Lord, that's hearing. I thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're here today, and I want you to just be honest within yourself, it's something that hasn't...